I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And not just the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian. Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels' family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you strivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Sarah Dowdy.
And I'm Dablina Chakraborty.
And today's subject is a warrior and a queen. Her name is Nzinga of Ndongo and Matamba. And even though she's considered one of the best documented rulers of her era in Africa, probably many of you, like us, hadn't ever heard of her before. I mean, had you heard of her?
I had not.
No, and I first heard of her on a website for historical Halloween costumes. So that's not really, I don't know, where you'd expect
to. The best resource for your research. Yeah, I'm skeptical now, Sarah.
It's not where you'd expect to first hear about a historical figure like this. But she was there tucked in with these more familiar names, people like Queen Victoria, Cleopatra, people who you might actually go out and see somebody dressed as them for Halloween. But she's a pretty amazing ruler, and not just because she would throw a sword around her neck and enter battle well into her 60s. She's most impressive for her ability to maintain her independence despite infighting, despite battling colonial powers, and despite a strong prejudice among her own people against women rulers. Plus, she had style. She had kind of some swagger, I'd say.
She had a very interesting style. In fact, the best story about her has the still uncrowned Nzinga acting as her brother, the king's emissary to Portuguese colonists. So when she saw the Portuguese governor hadn't provided her with a chair because he was intending to humble her and have her sit on a mat, she ordered her attendant down on hands and knees and carried out negotiations sitting on her back.
So that's a power play for sure. It certainly embarrassed the Portuguese. It made an impression on all of those who witnessed it. But the Women in World History Encyclopedia describes Nzinga as a proto-nationalist leader. They describe her as wily and intelligent. I'd say the chair stunt proves that. And one who, quote, maintained her power by adopting contradictory strategies, which ultimately succeeded. And I really think contradictory, once you hear about this lady, is a super super understatement, because Nzinga was a ruler willing to embrace, for instance, Catholicism and then go to ritual cannibalism from that and then back to Catholicism again, all to keep power. She would broker a slave trading agreement with the Portuguese, then announce her kingdom as a safe haven for escapees all over Africa. You know, these real dramatic changes in policy in order to hold on to her power.
Yeah, and those are just a couple examples. And it really worked. The style of hers really worked. She ruled for 40 years, and she established a kingdom that avoided colonization for about 250 years after her death. But first, before we go into all of that, how did she get her start, and what was she up against? So we're going to take a little bit of a look at her background to begin with. And to look at her background, we have to also look at the background on the situation at the time. The Portuguese had arrived in Africa in the late 1400s. They wanted slaves for their colony in Brazil, but they didn't want the competition of the English and French in Northeast Africa. So they went south to what is today Congo and Angola. When they reached Angola by the early 1500s, they found a collection of African kingdoms ruled by aristocratic families that would frequently turn over the kingship. So they'd flip it between noble families. So any designated king was really only in power temporarily before the next family captured the crown.
It reminds me a little bit of elected officials, but also just sort of coup after coup after coup. Nobody would really count on passing on the kingship to his son. But one of the more important kingdoms in this area was Ndongo, which was formed by the Mbundu people in the late 15th century. And the Mbundu had been threatened by the Kingdom of Congo to the north, and eventually, of course, also by the Portuguese. And this had really forced them to tighten up their leadership structure from what you just described, Dablina, and make it more about heredity and center power and government in the Ndongo kingdom, which would be ruled by a king called Angola. And just because it sort of helps me understand this and put it into more context, it's that word, Angola, that drove the Portuguese to start calling the whole area Angola. Kind of strange, since that word just means king. It's, you'd think that maybe the whole area would end up being called Ndongo. That's not how it went down.
So this noble-run system was also put to the side in favor of a royal slave-run state, the slaves taking high positions in the military or government, even collecting taxes, kind of like the Janissaries.
Yeah, so not how you'd normally think of slaves, disenfranchised. These were people who had more power and presumably could be relied on a little more than the infighting nobles. So at first, the Portuguese treated Ndongo and other kingdoms in the area as trading partners, albeit kind of trading partners with a gun to their head, basically supply us slaves, we'll be your trading partners. If you don't, well, then your own people will be enslaved, maybe even you, the nobles, or you, the rulers.
So not much of a choice there. But once they established a slave trading base at Luanda Island, they got even more aggressive. The Portuguese did, right. Old trading partners suddenly became enemies at that point. After a few decades of fighting, things were at a semi-stalemate until about 1612 to 1622, when the Portuguese brought in the Mbingala warriors as mercenaries. And the Mbingala practiced ritual cannibalism. They enslaved boys for troops. They killed kids born in their camps, and they had democratically elected leaders. I mean, except for that last part, they're pretty scary.
They were really, really terrifying. And with Mbingala help, the Portuguese did manage to finally bring Ndongo, that kingdom, to its knees. And the king, Mbandi, had to flee his own country. Okay, so this is where Our Lady Nzinga finally comes in. So with King Mbande on the lam, he sent his sister, who is Nzinga, as an emissary to the Portuguese in about 1621 or 1622. And she was there for pretty serious negotiations, not only to try to patch things over with the Portuguese, you know, try to get it so her brother could return to his kingdom, but to stave off two African competitors to the Ndongo throne as well. But despite, you know, those like really serious needs of hers, she did not come begging to the Portuguese at all. She, of course, pulled off that servant chair stunt that Dublina described in the beginning, something that was so absolutely shocking to those present that one of them, Giovanni Antonio Cavazzi, depicted it in this really fantastic illustration. You can look this one up, and I think just the expressions on everybody's face is really great. Nzinga looks quite comfy and stately on her human chair. The non-weight-bearing attendants look pretty impressed with not their queen at this point, but a representative of their king. Some of them are almost smirking a little bit. The governor looks super awkward. His legs are all splayed out while he's sitting on his traditional chair. And meanwhile, the servant on the ground looks solid, not like she's suffering under the weight or anything. It's a great picture.
So what happened after that little snapshot that we see? Well, once seated, Nzinga went to work. Portuguese Governor Correia de Souza demanded that all Portuguese war prisoners be released. She demanded that all Mbundu people be returned from slavery in Brazil in exchange. So they were kind of at a stalemate
there. She raised him one, I'd say.
Eventually, they settled on releasing Portuguese prisoners in exchange for Mbandi being allowed to remain ruler of an independent kingdom.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian, someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet, and also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day, seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if everyone's being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource, and paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
For good measure, Nzinga also converted to Catholicism. Governor de Souza acted as her godfather in this case, and she actually took his name, becoming Dona Ana de Souza. She knew it couldn't hurt to become the Portuguese Christian ally.
Exactly. So it sounds like Mbandi would be eternally grateful for his sister for working out this fantastic deal, but the two had a bit of a history of bad blood together. Mbandi himself had killed their father, as well as possibly, different sources say, Nzinga's infant son in order to really consolidate his own power. But before her stint as a negotiator, Nzinga had definitely been reduced to having to flee her own kingdom because of her brother. So things weren't great between them. So maybe it's not a huge surprise that in 1624, Mbandi wound up dead under mysterious circumstances. That's the way you see it described everywhere. Not quite clear on how he met his end. But regardless, Nzinga took control after that, despite some major obstacles against her becoming queen.
Yeah, just to give you an idea of what those obstacles were, hereditary kingship was not 100% set in stone at the time. And even if it was, Nzinga's mother was a slave.
Which so would have excluded her.
That would not have applied to her. And even if that was okay, she was a woman, and that Mbundu specifically did not allow women to rule. So it begins to sound less like a quirk of lineage and more like a coup, the fact that she did become the leader. And since her position was so unstable, she really desperately needed the support of the Portuguese to maintain it. So she entered into a deal with them that opened up Mbundu areas to Portuguese slavers. She wanted to become a middleman for slaves, not a source. She also welcomed their missionaries into her capital, which strengthened her base there, and she, by doing that, she also emphasized that she was a Christian ally. She was working
that
whole angle again.
Yep. Definitely.
But it wasn't long before she was betrayed by the Portuguese. Changing alliances herself, she banded up with the former enemy and Portuguese ally that we talked about before, the Imbangala warriors, who, conveniently enough, and unlike her own people, had a tradition of centering power on kinless women.
And she also got some support from a pretty unexpected source, considering that she was still acting as a middleman for slaves. She sent out a message to escaped slaves across the region and even the continent, offering asylum in exchange for loyalty. And so she ultimately transformed herself from a middleman, from a slave provider, to a safe haven for these fiercely loyal escapees. Because you can imagine, if you finally got somebody who would stick up for you, you would ultimately fight for her. So she further undermined the Portuguese, not just by collecting these escaped slaves and turning them into her own warriors, but by placing moles in the Portuguese forces. So she knew that the colonizers relied on black soldiers, and she'd send out her own guys into their ranks, and then these infiltrators would gradually work their way up and begin to cause trouble, you know, stir things up, encourage desertion, and sometimes whole companies of Portuguese soldiers would turn tail and join Nzinga, taking, of course, all of their nice Portuguese equipment and gear and weapons with them.
But still, in spite of all this, by about 1629, the Portuguese forced Nzinga to abandon Ndongo. She spread rumors that she died and tried to kind of drop off the map at this point. Then suddenly, she popped up again on the outer edges of Mbundu lands in the kingdom of Matamba. Matamba had been left desolate in the first round of the Portuguese Imbangala raids from the 1620s and left rulerless. Unlike Ndonga, though, Matamba had an ancient tradition of women rulers, and so Nzinga was able to consolidate her power there.
And she again offered sanctuary to runaways and formed a new kind of military, one where kids would leave their families and grow up in militia communes, again, a way to inspire this fierce loyalty to her. She'd also, this is another good way to get loyalty, she would use her sisters as warriors and even go into battle herself, dressed in skins and equipped, as we mentioned, with that sword around her neck, an axe in her girdle, and bows and arrows in her hand. So a pretty scary figure in her own right.
But her most important initiative in Matamba came in the 1630s when she blocked the main slave trail to the interior, closing down the market, in a sense. She still sold some slaves off herself, but she kept more as mercenaries. So this made Matamba a gateway, not a source for slaves.
Which was the ultimate goal in Ndongo from the start. So to control these routes more thoroughly, though, she'd form confederations. She knew that she couldn't defeat all her neighbors. She'd need to work with some of them. So she'd partner up with neighbors like Congo, Dembos, Kisamas, and also started a rebellion in Ndongo, which by this point was controlled by a Portuguese puppet, so her enemy, essentially. She made a new European ally, too, in the 1640s when the Dutch came into the picture. She figured it was a great way to play another European power off of the Portuguese. And it worked pretty well. The Dutch occupied the Portuguese trading post at Luanda, and by 1648, the Portuguese withdrew. This ended up sort of being the apex of Nzinga's power, though, and she really worked to make sure everybody knew how strong she was.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian, someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet, and also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day, seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if everyone's being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource, and paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go papertarian? Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
She also, at this point, wanted to get around any lingering questions that may be lying around about whether she was actually fit to serve as a woman. So, naturally, she declares herself king.
Just avoided the issue entirely that way.
Exactly. And this kingship of hers came complete with a harem of men. She would dress the men in this harem as women and have them sleep in the same quarters as her ladies-in-waiting, the same female attendants who doubled as her personal bodyguard. To further bolster her position as a woman leader, she'd promote other ladies to powerful positions in the government and the army.
And, of course, as we've already mentioned, her sisters out there fighting in the army along with her. But her power still hinged on playing one European power off of another. And when the Dutch left the region in 1650, Nzinga was forced to ally herself with her longtime enemy, the Portuguese. She signed a treaty with them in 1656 and promised to deliver a quota of slaves, but also got their assurance that she'd be able to maintain her kingdom's independence and end the war with Ndongo, too, that war that had been going on for so long with the puppet ruler. She reconverted to Christianity, and even though she left no heirs when she died in 1663, her general started this dynasty of queens who, this is absolutely amazing, they ruled Matamba and Ndongo, which of course did not have that tradition of female rulers, for 80 of the 104 years after her death.
The last of those women rulers died in 1767. Matamba wasn't integrated into the Portuguese colony of Angola until 1909, whereas Ndongo was lost to Angola by the puppet king's son just a few years after Nzinga's death. So it just goes to show what a strong kingdom she built on her own.
She had set up there.
And according to the Met Museum, which has loads of information on the famous servant chair illustration, Nzinga became a sensation in Europe around the same time after the publication of her biography, Nzinga Rendiangola.
Yeah, and apparently it was a pretty salacious biography with a lot of exaggerated facts in it, but it made her a popular figure. People were interested in learning more about her. I kept on thinking, though, I know we don't like to compare people to Western figures all the time. We've talked about that, I think, with Lakshmi Bai. Wasn't she called the Joan of Arc of India?
India's Joan of Arc, yeah.
But I also think that sometimes it really helps you give a comparison. It helps make sense.
Puts it in context.
It does. And for this, once I started reading about Nzinga, I couldn't help think of two figures. One was Elizabeth I, and the other was Hatshepsut of Egypt. And she reminded me of Elizabeth because of the obvious struggle she had to overcome about her gender. You know, England was not really cool with a female ruler at
that
time.
No, they were not.
And then objections to her lineage, too. You know, her mother was a slave. And then she reminds me of Elizabeth most, though, because that mastering of playing one group off against the other. I mean, it would really take a strong person to be able to do that and not end up losing your kingdom or becoming a puppet ruler yourself. She reminded me of Hatshepsut because of her just total decision to avoid the prejudice against queens and rule as a king, I mean, complete with this harem of men. So I thought that was strange that one person could remind me of two so very different queens.
Yeah, but I think that's what makes Nzinga so unique, is that she reminds you of these two people, but she kind of mixes them both
totally
and
different.
Then adds in her own thing and is totally different, and maybe actually the perfect Halloween costume. You saw this on a Halloween costume site, right?
Yes. It was an elaborate costume they had set out for her, so maybe some of y'all, that's one for you to consider.
All right, well, I guess we'll have to wait to hear from our listeners then and see if they dress up as her. But speaking of our listeners, it's time to move on to listener mail. First, we have this beautiful sunset picture from Guatemala that Ryan sent us. He says, I hope you got this postcard that I sent from Germany. I'm from California, but in a Master's of International Nature Conservation program. And he says that right now he's doing research in the mountains of Guatemala. So thank you, Ryan, for sending us this. It's beautiful.
It's a lovely card. We have another postcard from Crispin. And Crispin, your handwriting is like a font almost. It's pretty amazing. So he wrote to us to say that he loves the podcast and they provide a great deal of entertainment, which is in very short supply when living here in the outback of Central Australia. I'm a British guy who decided to abandon the cubicle and spend a few years traveling around the world. I have dropped my backpack to live and work for 3 months in the village of Eulara, I believe, at Ayers Rock. In April, my time in Australia comes to an end and I will be off to Southeast Asia. So thank you very much. He also suggested that we do an episode on Iris Rock, which would certainly be interesting. We haven't done Australian history since our Ned Kelly Bushrangers days.
That's true. We kind of had a big dump of Australian history.
We did. Oh, we had our Freedom Riders, too. So this would probably be some much older history than that. So thank you to both of you guys for sending such lovely postcards. And I also want to thank my friend Marie Christelle, too, for helping us out with these pronunciations. We did our best with the M and N sounds.
I hope we didn't butcher them too badly.
Of course, any mistakes are ours and not hers. But thank you again. I really appreciate it. And if any of you guys want to suggest topics, maybe some more African history, we are getting near February too, and so we'll be covering Black History Month, of course. Please email us. We have a new email address. It is historypodcast@discovery.com. We finally switched domain names to our parent company. We're still at Missed in History on Twitter, and we're still on Facebook too. Those are both great ways to contact us.
And if you want to learn a little bit more about female empowerment, we have a great article called How Feminism Works on our website. You can look that up by visiting our homepage at www.howstuffworks.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.
Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a wave.
Surfing.
Give me a city tour.
The trolley.
Give me animals.
The zoo.
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park.
Give me a woo.
Roller coaster.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Are you looking to build this year? If so, there is no better time than right now to start planning and to get your spot on the construction schedule. If you need a garage, a stall barn, a storage for vehicles, RV, boat, collectibles, or even a shop for your farm, hobbies, or car restoration projects, visit MortonBuildings.com and start your construction process. With superior materials, craftsmanship, best-in-class warranty, Morton buildings are made to last for generations. At Morton, the difference is in the details. From their cutting-edge innovations to their craftsmen in the field, they are dedicated to surpassing expectations. Their legacy of excellence spans more than 120 years, and Morton Buildings is 100% employee-owned with more than 250,000 satisfied customers. That means they're the industry leader you can trust. When you choose Morton, you'll experience quality at every step of the building process, starting before the walls even go up. Visit MortonBuildings.com to get started today.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.